Chapter 8 Treasure Island. Next morning, there was no wind, and we were half a mile from the eastern coast of the island. Although the sun shone bright and hot, I hated the thought of Treasure Island, afraid of what would happen there. Because there was no wind, the small boats pulled the ship 3 or 4 miles round the island, to a safe place to drop the anchor. I went in one of them. It was hard work pulling the ship, and the men argued. Afterwards, they sat around the deck, and the smallest order was received with an angry look.
"If I give another order," said the captain, "the whole crew will mutiny. Only one man can help us."
"And who is that?"
asked the squire.
"Silver," replied the captain. "He wants to keep things calm as much as we do. He wants the men to wait. Let's allow them an afternoon on shore. If they all go, we'll have the ship. If some go, Silver will bring them back as gentle as sheep."
Guns were given to all the honest men. Hunter, Joyce, and Redruth were told what was happening, and were less surprised than we expected them to be. Then the captain went on deck to talk to the crew.
"Men, you've had a hot, tiring day," he said. "The boats are still in the water. Any man who wants to can go ashore for the afternoon. You will hear a gun 30 minutes before the sun goes down to call you back."
They all became happier at once. I think they thought they would find the treasure lying around on the beach. After some talk, 6 men stayed on board, and the others, with Silver, got into the small boats. I then had the first of the mad ideas that helped to save our lives. If 6 men were left, we could not take control of the ship. And because only 6 were left, the captain's men did not need my help. So I quickly went over the ship's side and into the nearest boat. No one took much notice of me, only one man saying,
"Is that you, Jim?"
But Silver called from the other boat, wanting to know if it was me. Then I began to worry if I had done the right thing. The crews rowed to the beach, and our boat arrived first. I ran towards the trees. Silver and the rest were 100 meters behind, and I heard him shouting,
"Jim! Jim!"
But I took no notice, pushing through trees and bushes, and ran until I could run no longer. I was pleased to lose Long John, and began to enjoy looking around this strange island. I crossed wet ground, and came to a long, open piece of sand, then went on to a place where the trees had branches that were thick and close to the sand. Just then I heard distant voices, Silver's among them, and hid behind a tree. Through the leaves I saw Long John Silver and another of the crew talking together.
"I'm warning you because I'm your friend, Tom," Silver was saying.
Silver, said Tom, you're old, and you're honest, or so men say, and you've money too, which lots of poor seamen haven't, and you're brave. Why let yourself be led away with that kind of scoundrel? I'd rather die than... Suddenly, there was a noise of distant shouting, then a long, horrible scream. I had found one honest man here, and that terrible, distant scream told me of another.
John, said Tom, what was that?
That, replied Silver. His eyes shone like pieces of broken glass in the sun. That'll be Alan.
Alan, cried poor Tom, an honest and true seaman. John Silver, you've been a friend of mine, but for no longer. You've killed Alan, have you? Then kill me too, if you can.
The brave man turned his back on Silver and began to walk back to the beach. With a shout, Silver threw his crutch through the air. It hit poor Tom between the shoulders, and he fell to the ground with a cry. Silver, as quick as a monkey, was on top of him in a moment. Twice he dug his knife into that poor body. As I watched, the whole world seemed to swim away before me in a mist. Silver, the birds above, the tall spyglass hill. When I was myself again, Silver was standing with his crutch under his arm, cleaning the blood from his knife with some grass. As silently as I could, I began to move away, and as soon as I was clear of the trees, began to run as I had never run before.